This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And as you know, and as Americans regularly ask their Amazon Echo or Google Home devices to do things like play music, share the weather, or call friends, most of them still can't ask to call 911. Coming up, how 911 tech infrastructure needs to evolve and diving into the mountain of regulatory and tech hurdles it'll take to get there. First, these tech headlines. The Journal can report that there was no significant foreign interference seen on the midterm vote. U.S. security officials and social media firms said that they spotted a limited amount of deliberate disinformation targeting the midterm election, and that they hadn't observed any significant efforts to directly breach election infrastructure with cyber attacks. Concerns about a potential attack from Russia or elsewhere began to subside, even as government agencies, including the FBI, remained on alert. Officials said disinformation on social media had emerged as their chief concern. And at a brief press conference, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen said federal agencies hadn't seen intrusions into voting systems or related election equipment and vowed consequences for any foreign adversary that would try. Wells Fargo's wide-ranging regulatory woes have extended to another part of its business, its tech operations. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency in recent weeks sent Wells Fargo a regulatory warning that often precedes an enforcement action. The bank has also failed or isn't expected to meet deadlines on around two dozen tech-focused OCC regulatory warnings known as matters requiring attention. Regulators have identified problems across Wells Fargo's tech operations, including software vulnerabilities, cybersecurity concerns, and risk management inconsistencies. This is all according to a June internal bank document focused on enterprise tech reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. The regulatory attention on Wells Fargo's tech oversight is but the latest problem for the bank since its sales practices scandal erupted more than 2 years ago. Former Intel CEO Brian Krainich has found a new job in the tech sector. It's at CDK Global, which makes software for auto dealerships. And Mr. Krainich is its new president and CEO. He will also join the software company's board. CDK, which has a stock market capitalization of about $7.4 billion, said they were looking to pivot the company toward software to make up for its lagging ad business. Coming up, Alexa can do many things, but still can't call 911. What the government and big tech are doing to change that. Smart speakers are now used in approximately 20 million U.S. homes, roughly double the number a year earlier. And while companies like Amazon and Google have evolved these devices to do many things, they still stop short of the ability to make emergency calls. A glaring problem proving largely difficult to solve. Joining us here with more in the podcast studio is The Wall Street Journal's Sarah Krause. Hey, Sarah, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, it seems pretty basic. For all the things that smart speakers can do, including call cell phones and landlines, why aren't these devices always able to make emergency calls? Such a basic, important function, yet it's remained a glaring problem.
Yeah, it seems basic, and it's something that that I think people just assume happens or is possible.
Exactly.
Because these speakers can do so much else. But even though many smart speakers can call your mom or call your friend, most of them cannot call 911. And the reasons for that span everything from wonky technical reasons to regulatory reasons. But basically, for now, these speakers, these devices enjoy an exemption that keeps them from having to do this. Some of the challenges in making that a reality include transmitting accurate location data. So, you know, where is this smart speaker? Is it definitely at the address of the person who bought it and initially registered their address, or have they moved and is that updated? Like, how do we send real-time accurate location data to a 911 call center if it was to make those calls? You know, can it send a callback number that 911 dispatchers need when you make a phone call in case the call drops? Right. And on that front, what if the internet goes out and it's not able to complete a call and there's a consumer expectation that it can? But I do think that this whole conversation is representative of this sort of moment that we're in with all these emerging technologies and how they align with consumers' expectations. And when it comes to smart speakers, I would say also to children's expectations.
That was interesting, yeah, because, you know, the smart speaker in and of itself has been a revolution, right? But other things aren't necessarily keeping up. 911 needs to evolve, and so does we do because of this new fixture in our lives. What you brought up about children was super interesting in that they don't necessarily know that 911 isn't going to work. They don't necessarily think like that.
Yeah, and even some adults that I talked to didn't know that these
speakers can't call
911, so that's a starting point. But, you know, and I think, you know, these speakers are now in 20 million households. Used by 20 million households.
And growing, yeah.
I think part of this, at least in the near term, is having a conversation with your kids. When we're talking about location data with smart speakers, location data and the transmission of it in a timely manner is a problem even for cell phones. And cell phones now comprise about 80% of 911 phone calls. And even in that case, we're still working on the technology.
We've talked about it here
to be able to send that pinpoint Uber, you know, blinking blue dot location data to the 911 call center so that, police or firefighters that are dispatched can find you quickly.
Right. So creating the ability to call 911 from a smart speaker, where does one start? Where does, on a federal level, you know, where do we begin?
So the FCC right now is in the process of asking the telecom industry what devices out there can call 911 and what rules should we apply to them. Are there, you know, say mobile apps, for example, or senior monitoring devices that can call 911, but maybe do so, let's say, through like a third-party calling center? It's sort of like an information, like fact-finding mission that's going on right now that is, what is out there? What can call 911? What is a consumer's expectation of what can be done through those devices? And so I would say that at a regulatory level, that's where we are right now, is just trying to like understand the landscape and if smart speakers get caught up in that, if the telecom industry says, hey, or normal citizens who weigh in on this, this question, you know, hey, we think that this should be something that can call 911. You know, it may raise it up on the agenda. It may just be an input in this broader conversation. But that is the body that dictates 911 rules. And that's where that would start.
Gotcha. And companies like Amazon and Google, they're obviously facing pushback about this concern. How do they address this pressing issue?
Some devices, so there is a version of the Echo that can be connected to a landline, and that one can call 911 because the landline is what is making the call, and the landline has the accurate location data that's transmitted. That has all the tenants that you need to meet the 911 calling requirements. But the standard Echo and Echo Dot do not. The Google Home does not. And so that, you know, until there's some sort of regulatory change that mandates it, who knows if that's something that will actually move forward in terms of them enabling that. The other hurdle we haven't talked about yet is the 911 surcharge. So any cell phone or landline that calls 911 pays either the state or a municipality a small fee monthly for the ability to reach 911, that the proceeds from that are used to pay for 911 infrastructure.
Right.
So if these speakers did start to make 911 phone calls, if that was something that was, that capability was created, and it's not as simple, granted, as turning it on or off, but if that capability was created, someone would have to pay that. So that raises the question, is that going to be an Amazon or a Google? Is it going to be a consumer? You know, are you going to have some consumers that opt into that or not? Like there, it is a thorny sort of question as we have this conversation about whether these things should or can reach emergency dispatchers.
As you can see, there is a lot to this. Thank you for taking a few minutes to explain the issue to us, and listeners can read more at WSJ.com. Sarah, thanks again.
Thank you.
And that is Tech News Briefing, reporting from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.